Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Dr. Catherine Moran became Ireland's first female consultant neurosurgeon back in 2020. She took up the role after a 20-year journey in medicine, joining a 12-strong team of neurosurgeons in the National Neurosurgical Centre at Beaumont Hospital in Dublin. It's featuring in a new Virgin Media series, Brain Doctors, and Catherine joins me in studio now. Catherine, you're very welcome.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me on.
And I saw a clip from the show, and in it you were saying you don't really tire of being called Ireland's first female neurosurgeon, because I suppose you recognise ultimately what a milestone it is, not only personally, but as a role model and leader to others.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of don't really think about it at the time. It's more in retrospect that you kind of say, oh yeah, okay, that was a good achievement. Because, I don't know, we were kind of, I was talking with friends about this, saying, you know, if the female role model, I don't think it was as, we didn't think about it as much when you're actually going through the training. And maybe 20 years ago, it was a little bit different. But I think it's really important to have kind of someone to follow. When you think of people that you followed through your life, you know, there's, you know, you need different faces, different races, different types of people that you can emulate, I guess. Yeah.
And when you were studying and training, you didn't feel like you were a lone woman. There was plenty of females around you.
Yeah, there was, you know, there was lots, there's plenty of other female surgeons, and, you know, I got to work with them in different subspecialties, in Vincent's Hospital when I was more junior, and in Drogheda, and in other, because we kind of rotate around, we do some general surgery before we kind of subspecialize in neurosurgery. So I certainly had female role models in other types of surgical specialties, but there just hadn't been one in neurosurgery yet. Yeah.
And what about this journey to neurosurgery then? When did you begin to think, that's where I want to go?
It probably started in medical school. So I did medical school in UCD. We didn't have any kind of, there was no neurosurgery. Neurosurgery was all based in Beaumont, so we didn't get much exposure to it. But I knew that I really wanted to be a surgeon. There was just something about getting into a case and, you know, standing there for 6 hours, I found quite rewarding, even though if you're a medical student, you're usually just kind of standing there. You're not doing a lot. But I loved, you know, seeing what could be done in the operating room, I guess. So I wanted to be a surgeon, and then you kind of, you sign up to surgery, and then you go down, if you're going to do plastics or ENT or general surgery or neurosurgery, you kind of, you start off as a surgeon first and then you subspecialize. And when I was in medical school, the brain physiology, neuroanatomy was really what I would spend hours and hours and hours studying, because I loved it. And I liked the science behind it as well, and the unknown, and the intricacy of it, and it just really interested me. So I thought I wanted to do neurosurgery, but I hadn't had exposure to it. But when I actually went and worked there, then I was like, yeah, definitely, this is what I'll do.
And do you think you have to be a particular kind of person to be a surgeon? Because as you said, you know, it's 6 hours. And aside from that, it's a very high pressure environment. Yeah. And there's a huge responsibility on your shoulders. I mean, it literally can be life or death. And you're there at the centre of it, making all these intricate decisions.
So yeah, it's funny. The part of the most, you know, sometimes the most zen part of our job is actually operating. that's the nice part. That's what we enjoy doing. You know, it's like a physical skill. You just kind of, it's you have to be good at making decisions. So you can't, you know, you have to, you know, go through all the possibilities, make a decision, and then follow it through, I guess, is one part of a personality that you have to have. You have to be pretty decisive, I guess. In terms of the surgery, yeah, that's sometimes, obviously sometimes it's stressful and it's tiring, but that's a nice part of our job. The rest of the kind of bed managing stress with the capacity issues that we have, that's what gets your blood pressure up.
What would be a typical day or week for you with your work?
So it's divided in between clinics and operating days and then call. I usually operate about 2 to 3 days a week and then do clinics the other days. And I and then call, we run a, there's 12 of us in Beaumont, so we're always covering the Cork University Hospital will cover Munster, we cover the rest of the 4 million. So that's that can be quite busy. We'd usually get about kind of 40 referrals a day of patients from Tullamore, Donegal, Galway, Dublin. What else? My week. So, you know, some weekends off, some weekends you're doing research. There's also that element of the job that you kind of have to fit in, that you want to, you still want to write papers and you want to kind of push forward your subspecialty a little bit.
Yeah, and that's something I read you're very passionate about. You brought DBS, deep brain stimulation, to Ireland. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was something I was interested in doing before I finished my neurosurgery training. So then you go into subspecialty fellowship training where you just do kind of a really small part of neurosurgery, and then that was DBS, and bringing that home then here, we hadn't, so DBS is for movement disorders. So, and the main pathology we treat is Parkinson's disease, and also a thing called essential tremor and dystonia. So three different types of disorders that are very common. And then just certain portions of those patients are eligible or can benefit from DBS. So DBS is basically putting two electrodes within the deep nuclei of the brain, about 7 centimeters deep, within the kind of computer network of the motor system of the brain, to augment it to make your motor system more normal. So it can be really, really effective in certain patients with Parkinson's disease. And there's about 12,000 people in Ireland at the moment who've been diagnosed with Parkinson's at various stages. And I work with my colleague Richard Walsh in the matter, who works up the candidates to see who would benefit from this type of treatment. Basically, we use it when the drugs stop working. So usually the drugs, levodopa, dopamine, you give, that's what causes Parkinson's disease, when you get a loss of that. And when you take that medication initially, usually works quite well. But then over a few years, it starts to wane, and it gets quite unpredictable, and patients can move and then not move and then freeze, and their day becomes, you know, sometimes they just can't leave the house because they don't know how they're going to be affected in that moment. And that's when DBS kind of comes into play and can really bring the patients back by 10 years to what they were 10 years ago in terms of how well they can move. So that was really important to, you know, there was a little bit of a plan to bring it back to Ireland and to develop the service, but it took, it was also around COVID, so it was kind of difficult to, but we persevered and we got there. Yeah.
And brain injury or brain disease, that these are very challenging. So presumably that makes it a very difficult part of your job, but also a very rewarding part of your job to be working with people through these illnesses. Mm-hmm. So the 12 team that you're a member of, you must really lean on each other.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really great department to work in. It's really collegiate, you know, and you've known everybody because we kind of trained together. You've known everyone for years. And we do rely on each other for bouncing ideas off each other and kind of, what would you do here? What would you do here with this? And each one of us kind of does our own subspecialty. So we also operate on spines. So I also do complex spine surgery, and then there's a vascular team who do aneurysms and blood vessel problems, then more oncology who do kind of low grade tumors, then epilepsy. So we've got a really good breadth of, we have every subspecialty in Beaumont in terms of skull based neurosurgery. We have it all. But we work, it's a good place in terms of it has to be a good collegiate environment, or, you know, it's, you need those people to keep going every day. But yeah, it's a good spot.
And your husband is a neurosurgeon as well. So you understand each other's caseload and workload and how sometimes you're going to be on call and you're going to miss something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's it makes, you know, work life easier when it's when the other person knows, you know, may not see you till 9 o'clock or whenever, or, you know, if you have to go in on a weekend or it's or and you can come home and kind of discuss what happened that day. So that's it's nice. Yeah.
Tell me about the cameras coming in to your work and into your life. Yeah. How did you feel about that initially when it was pitched to you as an idea?
I don't think I really gave it a lot of thought initially. I just kind of said, sure, that's great. That's yeah, fine. And the production team were fantastic and they're quite chill. So sometimes you know, they're just like, don't mind us. We're just in the background, which they were. And but I think what they initially, when they told us about the show, that they were going to follow the patients at home before the patients came in and when they went home, I think that made the show much different, because I don't get to see my patients at home ever, you know. So it was quite interesting to see what happened to them, you know, a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, a year later. And I think they really put the effort in there to get the story, like to really get it over a good amount of time. So it wasn't just one day in a hospital. So I think that's what makes the show really special, that we get to see the patients. It's not just all around the day of the surgery. We get to see them later and how it's affected them and how they've coped with it and how their family found it. Yeah, I think the show I've seen so far, you know, it gives a really good insight into, you know, that it's not just the patient, it's their whole community who's thinking about them and waiting for them to come home and worrying, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I did think that because I saw on social media a clip of you and your colleague on Ireland AM and it was posted on their social media and the amount of comments underneath, you know, one in particular I saw about you, that you were a hero to their family because you saved their mum, and often, you know, you don't get to attach yourself to that.
No, yeah.
So,
which you don't want to. That's not why you do the job. But sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of a step back, I guess. And that's, I think, what the show does for us, that you kind of have a look at what you do every day and go, okay.
Yeah. And even my previous guest now, you know, I think it's fair to say you didn't treat Anne's husband.
No, but
he
I
had
know
brain
her story.
Surgery yeah. and she had never met a neurosurgeon before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the program is kind of bringing together that human story.
Exactly.
And the doctors at the heart of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for giving us a window into your life, as the TV series does. But with so much going on, your time is truly precious. So thank you so much for coming and spending some of it here on the show today. And you can see more of Dr. Kathryn Moran and her colleagues on Brain Doctors. It's on Virgin Media One Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Kathryn, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Claire. Pleasure.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.